Welcome to the third episode of Come to the Dyslexic Table. This is a live chat that goes out on the first of every month, and the focus is on an article that has been written by Sharon Roberts in the Whole Dyslexic Society's newsletter the previous month. So basically, there's an article in the newsletter one month, and then we have this live chat on the first of every month. The topic today is comparing keyboarding skills and cursive writing. And Sharon has a wonderful article in the newsletter. I might read the first paragraph because it'll set the ball rolling, maybe. But I'm glad that today we have Laura with us, we have Sharon with us, but we also have Julie Brewer, who is a preschool Montessori teacher. And we're very keen to get her take on cursive writing. Sharon starts off the article by saying, a few people still write with pen and paper. Oh, no. It's wrong. Few people still write with pen and paper, let alone in cursive script. Keyboarding has taken over this art form. However, researchers believe that cursive writing is important to cognitive development and the brain's sensor motor region. There's a substantial learning difference between handwriting cursive letters and typing or tracing those same letters. But with the abundance of smartphones, laptops, and tablets for reading and writing text, is writing cursive still important, or is it an outmoded learning tool? So what do we think, guys? Julie, would you like to start off?
Sure. I find that using cursive with the preschoolers is fun for them. They like to have a different way to write the letter, and it helps with differentiating between B's and D's and P's and Q's, and recognizing how many humps are in the M's and the N's and the U's and the W's. So it really does help solidify how to print, either in cursive or not, when there's a way they can practice in multiple methods. But it's slowly disappearing. And they're learning how to type when they're in preschool, like not actual type, but learning how to use a keyboard.
Wow.
Preschool on their parents' phones or their computers. And it's like they have this visual memory for what the keyboard letter looks like written on the key. And that doesn't always look the same font as other fonts. So they get really confused with different fonts as well, whether it's Comic Sans or a Times Roman. It looks different. The typical T that we print now is just straight lines. But if they see the T with the curve at the end, they think it's an F.
Yes.
A lot of confusion when it goes back and forth. So if we don't keep practicing with these kids, they never grasp the difference between how we write them. So there, I think it is important to expose them to the cursive, but they won't ever write it. I think my daughter did cursive in grade 4 or grade 3, I think. The teacher thought it was important. So she had a cursive session with them once a week or however often. And they had books where they had to write the letter over and over and over and over and over. And she loved it. She thought this was great. It's like a secret language. I can write this and my brother doesn't know what I'm saying. And she found that it was faster, right? So I think that's the benefit of cursive, is faster. And now she's in grade 6 and her printing is a mashup of writing and printing. She does some of the cursive movements for things and not for other letters. So she's made her own font, I guess. Yeah. Which is kind of fun, but she doesn't use full cursive to write. I don't know anybody that does.
Maria Montessori must have had an idea that cursive was important, do you think? And my son went to Waldorf and Steiner definitely thought cursive was important. He felt it was part of the child's development.
Yeah, I think the science behind it is that it used different parts of the brain to write cursively, and it's more fine motor control. You need more fine motor, but that strengthens your fine motor. So when they're learning the cursive, other fine motor tasks get easier as well. And it's speedier, right? It's more efficient. So spelling, they can recognize words as a whole differently as well. If they're connected, instead of just all choppy letters on a page, the connection between them and then the break help them recognize the word as a whole, depending on how they learn. I think, if I remember correctly, those are some of the main ideas behind using cursive at a young age.
Well, I agree that it's a faster way of writing, and I'm really glad that I had cursive writing throughout high school and university because you could take notes quicker. I question whether you could take notes as fast with a keyboard, although now with computers, you could probably just tape it. But a couple of the articles that I read with research were saying that it did enforce spelling again, for the same reason, because you have to look at the word and you connect the letters to the word together and you do see it all at once. And then doing it repetitiously, like copying off a blackboard or whatever, just reinforces it. And spelling is an issue with most children today. I'm not saying that cursive writing is responsible for spelling, but it's another way of maybe reinforcing the spelling of a word.
Yeah, one researcher believes cursive writing improves reading and spelling abilities because it requires one to write from left to right, so letters will join in the proper sequence. And it enhances spelling because of the connectivity of the letters. This is Virginia Berlinger, the researcher. The hand acquires knowledge of spelling patterns through movements that are used repeatedly in spelling. It's a similar phenomenon to what pianists or typists learn patterns of hand movements through continued repetition.
I think the argument was made that it activated the parts of the brain the same way as music does, and keyboarding does not do that. So missing something here by just using a keyboard. I was thinking about this. This wasn't in any of my research. I just remember many years ago, before I even worked in Davis or found Davis, our niece was dyslexic and was trying a therapy. And one of the therapies that was involved was writing. Not cursive writing as such, but using a chalk on a blackboard and moving their hand constantly, that it was activating something. I don't know if they knew what they were doing, but it seemed to help her.
Mm-hmm. Laura, have you had experience of that at your home school?
Yeah, so Lacey's 23 now. So when she entered school, it was a supported home learning program. The education was really varied. And one of the units, it was like an optional unit that the kids could choose from, was cursive writing. Now, she did the Davis program in grade 2. So this is before we started the cursive writing and keyboarding. So she already had a lot of the tools. She was already doing really well with the tools that she was given with Davis. But I remember she did the sheets and she did the practice and all of that. And she was able to draw the letters and draw the words, but never, ever maintained it. She now has a total mashup of printing and cursive. And like Julie said, it's her own type of writing style. I was a very, very fast typist. So one of my goals for her was to make sure she learned how to type, which is keyboarding. I made sure right around that same time, and I wish I could remember the timeline if it came before or after the cursive, but it was right around the same time that I had her doing keyboarding. She took to it really fast, learned the positions really fast, and is now an incredibly fast typist. And that's how she's gotten through all of her essay writing and note-taking and university. She's incredibly fast and accurate typing. So it's, some people will develop their own style of typing too, right? And do different finger positions. But the thing that I think what is interesting is that I learned cursive writing. So I'm 59. So I'm a student of late 60s and 70s, right? So we learned cursive, and my cursive writing is the classic cursive writing.
It's just, it's like beautiful.
You see in the textbooks. She can't read my writing. She can't read my cursive writing, which is interesting. And we've never explored it. It's just an interesting thing. And then listening to some of the other comments that you're saying, it made me realize, and I think I've brought this up before, Sue, you and I have had conversation about this, that cursive writing is left to right. And the researchers are saying like, that's important for brain function in certain pathways. Well, I'm a left-hander. Mm-hmm. So I don't get to write left to right. I guess I do write left to right, but I also write backwards. I can also write script backwards, which is right to left. But instead of pulling the words left to right as a right-hander, I'm pushing the words.
Yes. Yeah.
Which I've always been very curious about as far as my own dyslexic tendencies and learning style and how my brain functions and pathways and how I read words and write. Yeah, I do both. I think script and keyboarding for me is really valuable, and it's way more speedy. Like sometimes I will keyboard if I have to like take notes for something, I'll do that because it's quicker than writing. But then what's the byproduct of that? So what is not happening in the brain function? So maybe there's a good balance between both that's needed. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your handwriting is gorgeous. It's really, really, really lovely. And I'm curious now, because if you're a left-hander and you're pushing, like you say, instead of pulling, it must be difficult not to sort of smudge what you've written almost.
Totally, always covered in ink. One of the things that apparently family members have said that back in the day, the teachers tried to force me to write right-handed, and that didn't work. So instead, what they did, the compromise was they would turn my piece of paper. Right. So my piece of paper is like really skewed, like it's really sideways. And so that's a way that I can avoid the smudging.
That's so interesting. Mm-hmm. It's so cool. In England, we were taught to print. We were never taught to do cursive. I mean, I went to a really good school and it did not exist. And we were told to just join up our printing. We learned our printed letters and then we just joined them up. Some of them join up easier than others, but that's what happened. So do you have any children in your class, Julie, that you think might have this way of thinking? And do they find the printing any more difficult than the other kids?
I actually have one that I'm 99% sure is a picture thinker and probably has dysgraphia. Holding a pencil is impossible for him. Even when I use the large pencils, like the really thick ones, even when I try little gripper things to help him with that finger pincer position, it's this five-fingered hold that he does. And I find this with a lot of preschoolers, but usually by the time they're his age, they've figured it out. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they just don't. And I've tried all the tactics and tricks that I went through with my son, with Cohen, who still holds his pencil in a really strange way, but it works for him. Mm-hmm. I think holding it that way, he could never write cursive. I don't think it's possible for some of these kids to write those curves. Mm-hmm. They hold their pencil differently. And so the dysgraphia messes with that. And the fatigue is huge when you hold your pencil like that. You can't write or print cursive or printing for a long period of time. You could never write an essay without getting fatigue and cramps in your fingers. So for that reason, the typing makes way more sense. Mm. The preschool age, they don't do a lot of printing. Coloring though, they do coloring. And when we move from the large dubby markers to the thin pencil crayons, there's a shift and they have to have the right strength to hold those, to actually color, to make the pencil crayon show up, right? So you see this gradient through the year of the kids and what they can do with their pencils. And by the end of the school year of their second year, they're usually holding it more of a pincer style. And those are the kids that could do cursive if they wanted to. They don't usually do a lot of printing at the preschool level, but we do draw in sand trays and we use paintbrushes in a sand tray too, so they can learn to hold something and make the drawings. We use whiteboards on easels because, again, trying to get that wrist to go back when they're writing is important. So not always having a flat surface to write on helps with the cursive too. If you can put it on a whiteboard easel and it's upright, cursive's easier to write.
Oh, I was just thinking, well, then what do we do?
An occupational therapist told me that whiteboard trick, or actually if you don't have a whiteboard easel, just a 3-ring binder, like a thick binder that's empty, has that slope that you put your paper on that. And so Cohen used to do that when he was learning to print, because it would bring your wrist back and then he would learn how to move his fingers separately. There's an exercise you can do with the windshield wiper, is the moving of your elbow and then the wrist, Mr. Wrist we call it, and then the push pull. There's 3 separate motions that are required for cursive writing. And if they can isolate them and then put them together.
That's so cool. So bringing this to the Davis tools and knowing that you've got the Davis learning strategies, you know, the release exercise that you do with the kids when their hands are really stiff like that, that's because the hand is the last thing that's doing the concentrating. So if you wanted to, you could ask them to do release and make sure that they put that release right down their arm to their fingers and their hand. That might help. And if they have their focus.
For sure. And the focus is really big when they are printing, even just a short word, their name, for example, and they're focusing on trying to hold it more efficiently. And halfway through, they have to adjust or change color, and then they go back to that grip. So they'll just remind, find your focus and check your grip. And that's all they need. Oh, right. And I'm using these fingers.
Are they actually not teaching cursive in school anymore? Because this is the interesting part with printing too. When Sharon and I see kids who have difficulty with printing, printed letters have three starting places, don't they? They have the tall ones, and they have the ones that start on the right and the ones that start on the left, sort of halfway down. And then the children have to, first of all, guess where the starting place is. And then they have to figure out the direction, whether they're going left or right or up or down. And then they have to figure out if that's the right shape that they wanted. And then they have to know what the next letter is. And, you know, this whole writing thing is quite a minefield of lots of different choices. But I do get the impression that they're sometimes given the shape of the letter and just told to reproduce it, and they're not told where to start and which way to go. The biggest example of that is when you have D and B's, a lot of the kids start at the top for both of them, and then they get down to the bottom and they think, now, which way am I going to go? Am I going to go left or right? And that's where the confusion can come from. But if you start the D with a circle and then go up and down as if it's an A, but it's going to be tall, then the B can start at the top and go the other way, and it's not so confusing. But I'm not completely sure that that's taught very often, that not from what I see.
The other thing with the cursive writing, I didn't mention it in the article, but if you want to do research into history and read documents, you have to be able to read cursive writing. And the other thing that I was thinking of too, if I want to remember something, I write it.
Yeah.
And I think it does trigger some kind of memory for me. It's like reading a book, I have to hold it.
Yeah.
Bothers me is if they take it out of school completely and not even address it, there are people who like it. And if it helps them, they're being missed because, well, no, we're going to do keyboarding. Not only are we going to do keyboarding, but then we're going to take that alphabet that you struggled so hard to learn, and we're going to mess it up.
That's true. And,
you know, so I like to see everybody have an opportunity to learn the best that they can learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have options. And the thing is with cursive, a lot of dyslexics that I work with do like it because there's only one place where you start. You don't have to choose that tall or left or right place. You start on the line and you just keep going. And so that's often quite a thing for them. But going back to writing and keyboarding, I always write my shopping list, right? And then I thought I'd be terribly clever and put all my items in my phone, and I'd try and do it with my phone, and then I wouldn't have to worry. It was hopeless. If I forgot my phone or if I forgot my shopping list, I could always remember the shopping list that I wrote. Like there was an attachment to it. But if I tried to picture what I'd ticked on my shopping list in the phone, it just doesn't happen. And I read somewhere that when you write, all of your brain lights up, whether you're printing or writing, nearly all of your brain lights up. But when you keyboard, hardly any of your brain lights up. So when you're writing, it's much easier to remember and learn from what you're writing than if you're keyboarding, because there's no learning attached to it. It's just a mechanical motion.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting. And I mean, to me, I proved it with my shopping list. The one I wrote, I can remember what the paper was like. I can remember if it had lines. I can remember the color of the pen. You can almost visualize the words on it.
Definitely something to be said for physically crossing them off on your list. And it's quite satisfying to feel that accomplishment. I did that, right? It's really good for you.
True. Very true. So the advantage for keyboarding in my world is the speed. I mean, I've written my notes quickly and I'm having difficulty reading them. If I were to keyboard at the same speed, I would still be able to read them. And obviously, when other people want to read them, it's going to be much easier. I'm not saying we should never keyboard or we should never do cursive. I do think there's room for both, don't you?
I think a perfect balance of both. And I've learned in other non-business arenas and non-administration arenas that finding a nice balance And same for our kids, you know, it's balance, balance with everything, all of it, especially in such a highly technological world that we have.
So, Sharon, how do you feel about kids who are dyslexic, who are having a difficult time with writing and are automatically given speech to text or whatever you call it, so that they don't have to do it?
Well, I don't believe in torturing children.
That's good to know.
But I think that with the programs that we offer and with the tools for orientation to figure out why is it being so difficult and then solving it, I would like to see them do that because I think they're missing an opportunity. Again, it's like, well, math is hard, so we just won't do it. Well, we don't have to be mathematicians, but math is an important life skill. So I think that we are hurting kids in that sense that we're just not giving it a go. And if it helps you remember things and helps you spell, then how are we going to solve that if we don't do it that way? Mm-hmm. It's one of the easiest things that really can be solved. We used to practice every day, and that was, I don't think that they're given the opportunity to really practice either.
Mm-hmm. What I feel is that every child has a basic right to the basics. They have a basic right to be able to read to a certain extent, to be able to do math to a certain extent, to be able to print or handwrite to a certain extent. And then as long as they've got those basics, that's when I would put the technology forward. And that's when I would say, right, you've got a lot of reading to do, so listen to it. You've got a lot of writing to do, so let's have the keyboard, you know, so that you can just cope with a huge demand. But I do object when it's the only way they can get through school. It's pretty much a crutch because that's going to go on into adult life, right? And they're going to have to do that all through their university or college or whatever they do, and possibly into their careers. And that's when the sort of gap, the difference tends to widen, doesn't it? Yes, for overwhelm, but not to use it as a crutch. And that's the only way you can get through.
I mean, keyboarding does help you with writing. And I mean, I'm very glad we have keyboarding now because I would hate to try cursive write story. But again, are we missing something, just a small component in our education by not learning cursive or at least be exposed to it?
Yeah. Well, I think this child development thing is really important. If they don't have the opportunity to develop whatever does develop when you are using cursive or printing, then that's really unfortunate. So I think, ladies, from what I'm hearing, it would be beneficial for schools to continue with printing, cursive writing in terms of child development. I think I'm hearing that. And then when you get to the overwhelming part, the keyboarding is very useful and very necessary these days. And it's not either or, but it's just a very good balance of what works. Thank you. Thank you very much. And if anybody would like to talk to any of us, please get in touch with us. You can always email info@thewds.org. And a big thank you to Laura and to Sharon and to Julie. And we'll look forward to the next live chat, which actually won't be on July 1st because of Canada Day. It'll be on August 1st. And we'll be discussing resilience and what has change got to do with resilience. It's goodbye from all of us here, and we hope that you've enjoyed. And please do get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you.